WDIY presents a special news feature. Many events and circumstances in our more recent United States history have brought to the forefront issues and questions about our criminal justice system. From the Innocence Project to Black Lives Matter to questions about judges and courts, there are many calls for an examination of the fairness and adequacy of law enforcement and incarceration. Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, located in Easton, aims to promote a reimagined criminal justice system for Lehigh and Northampton counties. Our two guests today, Joe Welsh, Lehigh Valley Justice Institute Executive Director, and Mr. Marvin Boyer, Board President, are here to tell us how and why they have organized to do just that. Joe Welsh, welcome, and thank you for taking the time to help WDIY's listeners understand your passion for justice.
Thanks for having me on.
Joe, I want to ask you about the inspiration for the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute.
Well, I think it was twofold. I had been a member of the Color of Justice, which was sort of a loose association of people that had been put together by Marvin Boyer of the Easton NAACP. And they had done several forums on various aspects of the criminal justice system locally. But then I think the second important impetus was the outpouring of the community in reaction to the lynching of George Floyd. I have never in my decades of work on political and issue-oriented campaigns seen the kind of support and the broad base of support, and in particular on a racial justice issue, the amount of support from the non-black community. And this was particularly evident to me in the younger people who were in the crowd.
So that was an opportunity you picked up and began a vision of this. Who helped you develop that vision?
Well, it was developed with a number of people, you know, obviously Marvin, Richard Master of MCS Industries, whose foundation has got us off the ground and has pledged several years of support to get us up and established. You know, we all sort of crafted it, but the real thought was to take the energy of the streets and to put it into some sort of the 30,000-foot view of our local criminal justice systems. And to do that from, you know, from an academic perspective. And that's really what's symbolized by our logo of the clenched fist of protest being clenched around a pencil in front of a book. That we're trying to harness the energy and direct it into avenues that we think eventually will have the greatest likelihood for success.
So tell me, what will success be in terms of what is the goal of this project and how do you do it? I'm not looking for the big 2090 vision. I'm looking at what's the vision for the organization.
Well, we are looking to establish ourselves as a long-range community resource in the Lehigh Valley. So we do have both short and long-range goals. Some of our short-range goals are being handled by issue committees, which we have developed from board members and from people interested from the community or people who have been affected in the community by various aspects of the criminal justice processes. Right now, the three main areas that we're looking at are bail, police reform, and reentry programs. We're shortly going to be developing other committees. And through those, we're addressing things like cash bail and whether cash should really be a part of the bail process. From a long-range perspective, we have professors from Lafayette, Lehigh, Muhlenberg, and Penn State who are engaged in a multi-year deep dive into the criminal justice processes in the Lehigh Valley using a new cutting-edge research technique called participatory action research. And what they're doing is they are going out into the community and into the governmental decision-making agencies and conducting interviews around a broad range of community members and government officials and people who have been impacted by or are part of the criminal justice system, And as a result of all of these interviews that they do in the first phase of the research, they are then going to determine what specific data they need to look at as the research progresses. It's a very, very innovative concept where it's what you learn by just opening things up in a wide range shapes the way in which you conduct your research instead of upfront defining the issue.
Fascinating. Why is cash bail important, and how does it disproportionately affect different communities?
Cash bail is very important because it's fundamental to, which is supposed to be the principle of our justice system, that one is innocent until proven guilty. So if you're determining whether someone is going to be incarcerated prior to getting a determination through a trial of their guilt or innocence, you are imposing all kinds of burdens on them when, by definition, they are to be presumed innocent. It's a pretty poor metric of deciding whether someone is going to appear for a hearing or whether someone is a danger to the community to base it upon their ability to put up some arbitrary amount of cash. And so that's why we talk about the cash aspect of bail. There are legitimate reasons to detain people prior to trial. They're very limited, but they do exist. And the two reasons are whether someone would pose a flight risk, which ironically, someone who would have the money to meet a high bail would be more likely to flee or have the means to flee. And secondly, whether they pose an imminent danger to themselves or their community. Neither one of those two issues is measured by a person's ability to put up money.
I hear you say we over and over again, we. Who is the LVJI? Who are the people involved?
Well, the LVJI is, first of all, a 25-member board, which represents a broad range of our community, activists, attorneys, academics, some government officials, just a broad swath of the community. But that their work, and they're working through these issue committees, and also the academics who are working on the long-range project, they're all part of our board. But on these issue committees, we're also seeking out volunteers from the public. As I said, people who are impacted, people who have special knowledge about particular aspects of the criminal justice system. In addition to that, all of that work is supported by our staff, which is myself, Cecilia Karami, who is a researcher and also our administrative coordinator, and Florence Ogala, who is our data scientist, who recently graduated from Lehigh with a master's in applied economics. And by the way, that's important because one of the things that we want to take a very good look at is the economic impacts to our communities for maintaining a system of mass incarceration. And it's not just the cost to the taxpayers of incarcerating people, it's the cost to the local economy to have families devastated by having their wage earner sitting in jail, particularly on bail when they might even be innocent to begin with.
A real issue that we really do need to dive into and get answers. How do you hope that the research you gather will be used? Who will use it and how will it be used?
Well, we hope that a wide range of people will use it. First of all, we are hopeful that governmental decision makers will take our policy recommendations into account and will redefine some of the ways in which we look at criminal justice and some of the procedures that we employ. And we also think that we're going to empower the community through providing data and resources to them as they advocate for changes in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm. I see in your literature that you talk about public education and advocacy.
Well, our advocacy basically will be taking the form of public education. First of all, providing information to the public through our website and through studies that we'll be releasing, but also appearing at public meetings and pointing out the issues that we think are important to be considered by governmental bodies. And also, I don't want this to sound really adversarial or too adversarial, we're trying to build bridges with the decision makers. Some people might find it a little bit surprising that one of the first people that we met with was Lehigh County District Attorney Jim Morton. He would not be generally thought of as an advocate for criminal justice reform. But on the other hand, we found that there were a number of issues, particularly centering around reentry programs, where we could work with him. And he's also going to be cooperating with our researchers by providing some assistant BAs for them to be interviewing to get a better understanding of the process as it exists now.
Now, I understand you're going to use court records to get some of this research. How far back are you going?
Well, we recently made a request, and in fact, we believe late this week we'll be getting the data from the Administrative Office of the Pennsylvania Courts for cases that have been filed since 2018. The first use we're going to make of the data is to do some quick statistics on bail, because that's the area that we've started focusing on right now. But we also have sentencing data and obviously all of the steps that a case takes as it proceeds through the system. So that's our first big chunk of data that we're going to be looking at. And then we're going to be taking that data and correlating it with census data with regard to socioeconomic status. And we want to relate things like average amounts of bail with the economics of a community where the person who the bail is being imposed upon comes from, and see what economic factors may be at play.
How is reformation part of the process of justice and incarceration system?
You mean restorative justice?
Yes.
Restorative justice is something we're very much interested in, something that you see practiced in numerous other countries. Our head researcher, Cecilia, spent a year in Amsterdam in peace and justice studies and has seen what other countries are doing in the way of justice systems. And it seems like so many times in the United States, we see an emphasis on the punitive nature of justice, when in fact the word justice itself implies restorative. We call the prison system the Department of Corrections, as in correcting behaviors. Well, a big part of correcting behaviors is giving people a path forward, and that's where restorative justice is so important. And that's where reentry programs are so important.
Can you name any reentry programs that have been effective that you know of?
Well, one of them is one that one of our directors, and in fact the chair of our reentry committee, Dr. Bonnie Winfield, has been conducting at Northampton County Jail. It's entitled the Journey Home Program, and it's to empower female inmates to overcome all sorts of obstacles that they will encounter as women, and to learn to cooperate with each other and to get ready to re-enter society.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. It's been really enlightening. Do you have any last words you want to say? Anything I didn't ask that you hope to get across to our listeners?
Yeah, just generally where we're looking to go with the Institute. I mean, we really want the Institute, particularly through its academic level work, to be regarded as essentially a reliable and authoritative source of information about our local criminal justice system, and also to be viewed as a trusted community partner, both by the community and by the people running the system. That's what we're really seeking to do by building bridges with everyone.
Thank you, Joe, for your time and expertise.
Thank you.
Next, it is my honor to welcome Mr. Marvin Boyer to the airwaves. Mr. Boyer has been an active NAACP leader in Easton for most of his life and has been instrumental in improving lives in Easton through his involvement in the Easton Area Neighborhood Center and many other projects. Hello, Mr. Boyer. Thank you for taking the time to talk to the listeners of WDIY.
Hello, and thanks for having me, Marcy.
Briefly, tell us about your position and involvement with the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute.
Well, the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute was an outgrowth of the Color of Justice movement, which started now, time flies, going back to approximately 2018, when a group of community activists and community organizational leaders, Alan Jennings comes to mind, met talking about criminal justice reform, which we all had an interest and passion for. Included in that group were people like Richard Masters, the late John Robinson, who is a member, deceased member of the NAACP, And we talked about what could we do as it relates to education and moving the needle as it relates to justice reform, specifically here locally, where we thought we could have the most impact. So from those meetings, the interest grew. Other organizations came aboard. As I mentioned, CACLV, Promise Neighborhoods, our sister organizations are the NAACP and Bethlehem and Allentown, Esther Lee, at the time Tony Phillips, and Allentown, who was then the president of the Allentown branch. And we started working collaboratively as to putting together a program. Back in the beginning of 2019, we thought we would put on a series of forums to educate the public on the need for criminal justice reform, specifically reform locally. And there's so many subsets of criminal justice when you talk about reform. We settled on three, and they were bail, incarceration, and reentry. And we thought we would start having a forums in the spring of 2019. We had a kickoff forum to kind of set the table for the subsequent forums we were to have. And the kickoff forum that we had, a luncheon, was at Lehigh University's Iacocca Hall, where we invited the Attorney General Josh Shapiro to be our keynote speaker. It was a great success in terms of the folks that attended the program. We had an attendance of about 180 folks at that luncheon. PBS broadcast the program, and it was just a great kickoff to the subsequent forums we had. First one being in April 2019 on bail. John Morganelli was one of our panelists, the former DA. We had a prominent local criminal defense attorney, Gary Aztec, among our panelists as well. Our next forum was in May of 2019, where we had the Secretary of Corrections as our keynote speaker, and he was also a panelist at our May forum. Our last forum was in June, the next month, on reentry, where we also had another deputy Secretary of Corrections, Kelly Evans, speak. And we had a pretty good panel talking about reentry. Reentry is important because those folks coming back into society, reentering society, two of the biggest concerns or challenges they have to do with, one, having a place to stay, and two, getting a job.
Right.
So those were the forums we had. It generated a lot of interest. These forums we held had an attendance of averaging about 100. And from those folks who attended, it generated interest among a number of them who wanted to be more actively involved in the work that we were doing. And that, in essence, laid the foundation. Those forums and the subsequent meetings and work that we did laid the foundation for The Color of Justice, which was formally incorporated this past fall in 2020.
And then that became directly the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute?
Yes. The Color of Justice was the forerunner of the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, correct.
And I understand that you're the president of that organization.
Currently the president, yes.
How will this academic research work on cash bail and police reform and so on help individual people in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, as we put together the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, actually prior to that, we decided to put together a research team. And putting together that research team, we drew from local academics from our universities here in the Valley and colleges, specifically from Lehigh, Muhlenberg, Lafayette, and Penn State. We put together a team of individuals who have experience in criminal justice research and asked them if they would work towards putting together a research paper, a white paper, in studying the local criminal justice institutes here in Lehigh and Northampton County. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, our main purpose in terms of our initiative, our goal, was to see how we can affect, how we can advocate and bring about change locally here in Lehigh in Northampton County as it relates to the lowering, elimination of a certain bail requirements, because bail most adversely affects those folks of color, minorities, and low income. Bryan Stevenson stated in his book, Just Mercy, it's better to be rich and guilty in America rather than poor and innocent. So true. So our research team started working and looking to put together a subsequent research white paper that will take a few years, and they're going to do a deep dive study of our justice systems, everything from bail to probation to incarceration to the courts here in Lehigh, Northampton County. We felt that would give us credibility, that factual information, in order to influence the powers that be, so to speak, here in both Lehigh and Northampton County, of the need for change. The need for change in terms of that the scales of justice would be more equitable, particularly for those low-income and minority folks. And also to show how the study would also be a good thing in from a cost-effective standpoint, which resonates with those folks who are in position of making decisions and control the purse strings, so to speak.
How would you answer people who might say that this kinder, gentler approach to justice would just encourage criminal behavior? We're coddling the criminals. What do you say when faced with that kind of statement?
Well, I would disagree, quite honestly. I think it's being more realistic in terms of how we go about doling out justice, so to speak. Here in the United States, we are 5% of the world's population. We incarcerate 25% of those folks who are incarcerated worldwide. Something is not right. And that's just one statistic that just jumps out at you. Looking at the amount of folks that are on probation, parole, we have more of people of color in this country that are currently on probation or parole than we had slaves back in the 1850s, 1860s. Again, the system is out of whack.
Will the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute address the death penalty?
That is something we have one of our groups that is involved with our initiatives, and we have members on our board that are involved with an organization called End Mass Incarceration and who are strong advocates for ending the death penalty. I'm a believer as well that the death penalty should be eliminated, done away with. So that's not necessarily at the top of our list, but it certainly is something that there is strong passion for among a number of our board members for elimination.
A lot of considerations there. How does income and wealth affect how people are treated by both law enforcement and the criminal justice system?
Well, there's no question that income and wealth has a major, plays a major role in how people are dealt with when they're involved in the system. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, you could be very wealthy, rich, and guilty, but it have a bearing on your outcome, particularly if you have the financial means to fight the charges and the resources. If you are poor, you could be innocent, and a number of folks who are convicted or plead to a lesser charge do so out of economic necessity, so to speak. I'll give you an example. An individual who might be picked up on a misdemeanor, or even a felony for that matter, who does not have the financial resources, it may be faced with a bail situation. It might not even be one that's very high, but one because of an individual's financial condition may not afford. Subsequently, they are incarcerated, may not be guilty of the charge that they are saddled with, but they don't have the financial means to afford the bail, more or less an attorney. So what happens is they are incarcerated for failure to make bail. That has collateral damage as it relates to their economic situation. It puts them further in the hole. They cannot, they'll probably lose their job. They could lose their house, and it could have adverse effects on their family situation. I've seen that happen where families broke up because an individual being incarcerated and not being able to have that contact with family or have an adverse effect on the family situation.
Yes, it's a real stretch to call that justice in any way, isn't it?
Agreed.
Is there anything else you'd like to comment on? I'll tell you, one of the things I would like to hear from you is you've mentioned a whole lot of things that need to change in the criminal justice system. If you could just enact one tomorrow, just one of those things, which one is your top priority?
That's a great question. I don't know if there's one right off the top of my head that I would pinpoint as a chief priority. I think we, in this country, jail far too many people. And that's not saying, I don't mean to imply that jail is not appropriate for some offenders of our justice system. And that's part of what we're, the Justice Institute is about, looking at how our system operates currently. Bail is a big consideration, and it absolutely adversely affects those folks of color and less financial means. There's no question about it. And also how we handle probation in this country and how some folks coming out of incarcerated may be faced with extended periods of probation and how, as a result of being on probation, the requirements could be so stringent that any slight a fraction of their probation might result in them being incarcerated and losing any time they may have during the course of being on probation, any free time. So I don't know that I have one particular answer to that question other than the fact that I'm just giving you certain considerations that are high on my list as it relates to how we look at our criminal justice system.
For WDIY News, thank you, Joe Welsh and Marvin Boyer, for telling our listeners more about our criminal justice processes here in the Lehigh Valley. And thank you for the important work you're doing.
Thanks for the time and for the microphone, Marcy.
This is Marcy Lightwood for WDIY News.
WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Many choices, real voices.